Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
After the unsettling surprises of the military base, and the ghosts it left behind, what awaits the party as they head down into the basement tunnels? Dungeon Junkies presents The Fall of Osha, Episode 12, The Present.
Dear Diary, today I was traumatized.
If you're feeling lonely today, come along and throw your cares away. We're really glad that you're out.
Stop friend.
It. Literal stalker footage mood.
The only person in the chat who knew what I was singing as well.
I know.
Oh, we all knew. I don't want to acknowledge you.
Charming.
Ironically, Shard knows where the white mix. Knows exactly where that base would be.
Oh,
so I just still want to talk. White Wing Mountains, baby.
Good old White Wing.
So, Shard sent a picture of the slightly uncovered staircase to the group chat, and then I assume puts it back on mute.
I see this group chat. I take, because obviously I'm like the only one who can't really do any proper magic.
You got your screen reader on, so it reads it out to you.
It's just like the really robotic woman voice saying, there is a staircase on this floor.
This is a photo of a slightly uncovered staircase sent by a furious drow elf.
At so-and-so o'clock.
Nicknamed Angry Dark One.
Moira makes her way back round to the projector room, retracing her steps.
Well,
are all the other spirits gone now?
They've all vanished.
All of them are gone. Okay.
You see, okay. Charlie has managed to wall mount the projector.
Right. I'm guessing you saw something you didn't want to see.
Just to catch Warrior of God. No, it's just a mimic.
They really weren't nice to the tieflings. I thought they were hunting them. One had their horns completely shaved off.
Right, we should probably catch up with Shard if we want to have a group chat about everything that's been seen here.
Wait, Robin, you alright?
Can understand.
Oh, Moira. I, as always, am fine. You can see that after seeing his father, like, the Oberyn's, like, kind of restored his air of nobility about him. Like, he's not nearly as feral as he has been in recent time.
We should probably catch up to Shard. Has Kindra reverted back to cat form?
No, she's still a fire ganassi at the moment.
Right.
That was triggered by the spirit releasing rather than the shape change, so.
Yeah. I think she wasn't all tied together, sort of thing, so.
Yeah. Tim is still human.
Tim is still traumatized.
Pretty much. Are we all good to move? Because I think we should go and check in on Shard, given what they've discovered. I don't think, much as they'd like to be, they should be alone right now.
Do agree, Moira. Please lead the way.
Oh, no pressure. Moira throws the door through the door. Bang, dead. Right. Moira, however, will lead the way. Where they think the lab is, because they don't know exactly where it is.
Kindra taps Moira on the elbow. Should one of us maybe lead? I've been there, and I'm pretty sure Charlie it is, isn't it? I know I should know it. I've been there for so long.
Yeah, that's where I almost became a roast dinner. It's just down this part of the corridor.
Right.
Character, that is my bad. I thought his character had been to the lab, not Charlie for a second. So, not a character, that's my bad.
Okay, so I just put more into this.
This just lifts Faith, I'm not in my heels. All right, okay, so Charlie goes in front of Moira. Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate you guiding. And thought you had to go through that as well.
Through what?
Well, the whole almost cooking alive.
Ah, just an average Tuesday here.
So, it doesn't take you long to find the lab again. Charlie knows where it is. You can almost follow Charlie's little trail of ashy footprints back there. And, of course, you can't walk straight into the laboratory. You have to go through the crematorium room, the cremation station.
I give a middle finger to the
result
blast.
Curiously enough, there is still a coffin left in the one next to the one where you almost cooked alive.
Huh. I just assumed that coffin was a part of the spirits.
And it's still just chilling there.
Maybe we can put Ned in there.
Ned hide behind Kendra.
Charlie. We could, but we shouldn't.
Can I go inspect said coffin?
Yeah. Roll me an investigation.
Can't not go look at the coffin. That's terrible. It's a 7.
I mean, not as a DM, but as a normal person, I can think of plenty of reasons not to go near the coffin. But as you inspect the coffin, it's obviously been sealed shut correctly, and there's a little plate on top. I say a plate, it's more a label than anything. Completely blank. So, there's not really much to go on.
Open, do you see anything?
No, it seems to be an unmarked coffin. It just seems very odd that they would leave one coffin unburned.
Can I look as well? Can I check, see if I might get a better dwell than Oberyn?
Yeah, you can roll an investigation.
While this is happening, I'm going to go into the lab.
Moira might actually become an investigative journalist properly this time.
Don't fuck it up, I'm sure.
With 19 plus 3.
I don't know how many coffins Moira has seen in her life, but...
Not many.
Weird questions.
You can tell. The same thing that Oberyn says. Can tell. It's sealed. There's an unmarked label on the top. It's been here for quite some time, judging by the dust around the edges.
Okay.
You notice the top end, though, is slightly singed.
As in, like, the end nearest the oven?
Yes.
Okay. Huh. This hasn't been cremated yet, obviously, because the fact that the coffin is still one piece. But I've suddenly got a really bad feeling about this. Mainly because of our amazing DM.
Hi, I'm Kerry. I'm absolutely terrified of coffins. Something dies.
Nothing.
So, whilst Moira's staring down the coffin, is Shard still in the cage, as it were?
Shard is currently ripping up the other floorboards with no care for their limbs.
Okay, that's what Charlie sees when she walks into the lab, then.
Just hurling rotten bits of wood everywhere.
Hmm. What was that, sorry?
A piece of wood in Charlie's direction.
I catch that fucker.
Charlie trying to sass me.
In the cremation station, you can hear all of this happening. I'm calling it the cremation station so it's less horrifying for me.
The ash stash.
Love them both. Those are both great names.
The burny basement.
Feel the burn, end up in an urn.
Ripperino.
Moira will, hearing the tearing of floorboards, poke her head slowly round the corner. See, you alright?
Shard's ripping up that wood like a maniac, and Charlie's catching bits.
While this is happening, I do move away because I have a feeling that a floorboard might end up flying in Moira's direction, and obviously I'm standing right next to Moira, so I do move out of the way.
You can punch it, it's fine.
I think Charlie meant so it will hit you and not them.
Sad Moira noises.
Can I help?
Shard continues ripping up the floorboards, ignoring you, trying to make this hole big enough to fit through.
I'm going to have a look around this room for any more details, and if I don't find anything, I'll start ripping up floorboards as well.
Roll me an investigation, please.
Shot will hiss at you if you get close.
First level exhaustion is disadvantage on ability checks, isn't it? Just to double check.
Yep. I believe so.
Fuck!
Set that.
Shouldn't have mentioned that. 13 if it was a 1.
You say that like is. I wouldn't have remembered. So a 1.
Yeah.
Fuck. You look round, but aside from the file you took earlier, there's nothing of interest, and you also have to duck as a large piece of floorboard goes flying past you. It does not hit Moira.
I just help rip up the floorboard, so.
Does Shard hiss at Charlie?
Yes.
I just raise an eyebrow at Shard. You either want help or you don't.
I don't.
Okay.
Has Oberyn come through to see the madness yet, or is he still hanging out with the coffin?
I think, honestly, at this second, I have not come in. I'm still, like, baffled by the fact that this coffin isn't burned. Like, it's so illogical to Oberyn. It's like, he's in, like, he's a robot who got, like, a
he's
logic puzzle. He's
blue-screened Oberyn.
Yeah, he's basically broken out here, just, like, why is this happening? Like, why would they have not burned this one coffin? And I'm just standing out there with Ned and Kendra.
Moira has noticed that Oberyn hasn't come to join him, and seeing it, Charlie is doing enough to occupy Shard's attention, goes back to help Oberyn come out for days, it seems like. Oberyn, are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. This doesn't make any sense at all. You don't leave one coffin unburned in a crematorium. This isn't what you do. Can I make a perception check on this coffin? Like, can I, like, put my ear to it? Can I hear anything inside of it? Like,
yeah, go ahead.
That is a 23.
Okay. As you put your ear to the coffin, it feels strangely warm. But you can't hear anything in particular inside it.
Hmm. Can I do an arcana check? Is there any magic around this thing?
Roll me arcana? They called it arcana then.
With my bonuses and my proficiency, that is 22.
There is some form of magic coming off of this coffin. It's similar to the like aura you got around the room with the video projector.
Open. I advise you to take a couple of steps back.
I still have my ear to said coffin.
Open. That thing has got magic juice coming from it, and it feels the same sort of energy we felt in that projector room.
I hear you, Moira.
This is very not... Well, obviously not natural, but short of opening it, I don't know what else you want to do with it.
It's warm.
Okay, I know this is me saying this. Don't fucking open that.
As I serve my ear to it, I would like to cast Dispel Magic on it.
Okay. And do I have to do anything for that one?
Let's see. I haven't looked up Dispel Magic in a while. I will tell you exactly. It's a third level spell.
It's a nice spell.
So it's instantaneous. And choose a creature, object, or magical effect within range. Any spell of third level or lower on the target ends. For each spell of a fourth level or higher on the target, make an ability check using your spell casting ability. The DC is 10 plus the spell's level.
Okay. That's wisdom for druids, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Could you make me a check then?
Sure. You do get plus 8 to this, so.
I'm not expecting you to fail.
Well, good thing I get plus 8 because I got a 17.
The aura of magic around it just goes out of existence.
Is it still warm?
Warmth is slowly fading, but it doesn't go away completely.
I would now like to open said coffin.
Okay. How are you intending to open it?
So it's sealed, you said?
Yeah.
I would like to pull out my spear then, and using the blade of the spear, I would like to try and cut a bit of the seal and then use it to wedge as a fulcrum and pretty much pop it open.
Okay, make me an attack roll.
How could this go wrong?
Many ways. Many, many ways. That is a natural 20.
Okay. You managed to get it open with no problem. And inside, it's full of tiefling horns. About 40 pairs of them. All different types.
About 40 pairs?
Yeah.
As the coffin opens and the tiefling horns are there, I'm going to look towards Moira and I don't know a ton about the afterlife in general or the spectral, if you will, but my connection to nature generally revolves around the death and the rebirth of everything. And I would tell you that I would hazard a guess that these horns, and I point to the inside of the coffin, are probably what is holding many of these spirits to this plane.
Moira walks up to the coffin and says, can we feel the heat coming off the horns themselves, or is it off or the heat now gone?
The heat is dissipated. There is a rather unpleasant smell coming from the coffin, though, as some of the horns have been cut so close to the scalp they do have bits of flesh attached to them.
I regret doing this. Moira reaches into the casket to make sure they are legitimately there and not just another spectral.
You take 6 damage as you are scratched and stabbed from all different angles by tiefling horns.
They're real.
You feel a bit like a pincushion by the time you retract your arm.
I will immediately cast Healing Word on Moira. And I think it's a D8. Let me make sure. I'm not much of a healer, so I don't do this a lot. That's a D4. Yeah, so it's even worse. Moira, you get 9 points of health back.
Okay, so I've now got an overshield. Excellent.
I don't think it works that way, but I think it's up to carry.
Nice try.
You actually see a kind of white light encompass Oberyn's hand as I will reach out and grab your bloodied wrist and thank you.
You're welcome. However, we need to put these to rest for sure. Has that smell gone through your room as well by now?
Just a bit, yes.
Oh god.
I'm a druid of the spores. I don't care.
No, I'm more worried about Shard smelling it.
The feral elf who's currently ripping up the floor in the next room.
I am the feral one this week. Next week it will be your turn, Charlie.
The smell hasn't reached Shard yet, if that's what you're worried about.
I've probably made a hole in the floor by now.
If anything, it smells like somebody just beefed in the next room.
I mean, we could burn them in the shop, more points at the oven.
I would guess the reason I don't think they probably do burn. Tieflings are quite known for their ability to withstand fire, and you would assume their horns would be infused with that as well.
Do you think there's a burial?
Either a proper burial, or to fully destroy the bone would be the only other option. And that would be to melt them down.
I mean, these things are really hot for now, aren't they? Someone who knows about fire.
Or Oberyn raises his hand as being a Circle of the Spore druid, I also am elementally arcane to acid, and my hand kind of glows with a little bit of just poison spray, and I go, I think I could given enough time, handle this quickly and quietly myself.
Okay, fine. You do then. I'll go and see what the next challenge is throwing our way. And Moira turns on her heel and walks back to the other room to see what Kells is in his room. Why is Moira being the adult today?
Don't know, and that's quite unsettling. But
someone has to do it.
Shard is not in the right mind frame to be the adult today. But they have made a rather nice hole in the floor by this point. It's almost perfectly round for how much time they've had. Charlie has probably had to dodge many bits of wood.
Just sat on the counter watching.
Charlie's sulking, so said she couldn't help.
No, Shard wanted to do it all on their own.
It's called anger management.
It's probably the closest you can get to therapy in this place. So, there's a hole leading to the staircase now.
I'm gonna look up and I'm like, bye.
Shard disappears.
Shard the cape.
I have to attend to this for a bit. I will follow after I conclude my business here.
Moira follows, making sure that there is ropes just in case you need to climb up the hole.
Yeah, I let Moira go first.
Can I send Ned with them?
Yeah.
And second question, even though Ned is human, do I still have my connection to him?
As in, you can tell where he is, or?
Yeah, I mean, technically, him being my, when I keep casting undead, to control, animate dead to control him, I can telepathically communicate with him for, like, to give him actions and those kind of things.
I can't promise he'll respond now, but yes, you still have that connection.
Okay, that's all that's all I need to know is I still was connected to him. And I will then send Ned with them.
Kendra follows Ned, assuming you don't need her for anything.
Unless you want to stand here and watch me melt tiefling horns, I suggest you go with them.
I can think of nicer ways to spend the time. And she will follow the others. The drop from the floor to the top of the stairs is about 4.5 feet, so it's not that deep. And given Shard has an astronomical range of dark vision, they can easily see to the end of the first corridor. It's straight ahead with a blind turn left with one door on the left side.
Door on the left if you want to. I'm going around the corner because I realise they can't see as far as I can.
At this point, I probably would start heading downstairs. I know the floor probably a few feet ahead, to be fair, but I'll catch up.
We'll try the door on the left.
It leads into like a quarters, and there's a military uniform jacket hanging up still. It's quite moth-eaten now, but you can see it's from a fairly high-ranking person.
Is there anything of note on it? Apart from the fact that it's an officer?
The number has been moth-eaten, so you can't tell specifically who it belonged to.
Okay. Can I check the room? Is there anything else I can find of note?
Make me a quick investigation check.
Investigation. Yeah, it's 6 all in this time.
Okay. You see a calendar, which was from about 2 years ago.
Okay. At least it confirms it's been at least 2 years since this place has been overrun. Okay. Follow the other boy will leave the room and continue following Shard.
As Shard turns the corner, their dark vision range is astronomical, but they can't quite see to the end of this corridor. They can see 3 doors on the left, though, but otherwise it's just one straight run.
I'm just going to slam each of the doors open with telekinesis. Don't care.
They all appear to be dormitories. Or, since Shard didn't look in the first room, if Moira glances in on the way past, she'll notice each room is a carbon copy. The only thing that changes is the date on the calendar.
Up to the last door that Shard has obliterated, Moira will, having put this together, how far apart are they, DM, day-wise?
The calendar in the first door was from about 10 years ago. The second one was 30. And the third one was 50.
I have labeled information directly to Shard. And I'm guessing Charlie's falling right behind, so, and Charlie as well.
Rob, I guess I would probably go check that room that Moira checked, just because when I went downstairs, Moira would have probably already been moving on. Just see if I can find anything that Moira missed.
What, in the first one or the last one?
The first room that Moira went in. Because it was the corridor that Char went down in the room that Moira went in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Alright, yeah. I'll go check that room that Moira was in.
Okay. Make me an investigation check.
My two dice. Okay, that's not too bad. A disadvantage, that's a 16 all in.
Okay. There's nothing particular you note. There's a half-empty carton of cigarettes. And a very stereotypical sexy bikini lady poster on the walls.
Cigarettes in good condition?
Yeah. They seem to be. Having been supposedly been here for 2 years.
Yeah, I'll take them with me.
Charlie acquires a pack of cigarettes.
Hey, I'm sure some smokers would trade something for it. After all, we are in apocalypse.
Child wasn't emotionally distraught. They'd slap them out of your hands for bad habits. Bad for your lungs, child.
I just pocket the packet, half full packet of cigarettes.
Do you take the cigarette lighter with a picture of a tiger on it?
I admit that's pretty cool, so I'd take that with me as well.
I like this. This is mine now. I like how the logic of Dungeons and Dragons is just finding things like, I like this, this is mine now.
It's called theft.
I would trade this.
The logic.
I would trade this with a hungry smoker for their rations.
It would probably work.
Yeah. Money can't buy you happiness. For everything else, there's theft.
Up in the cremation station, the burn of the urns.
Ash dash.
Oberyn would probably have finished melting the horns by now, if that's what he was doing.
Yeah, I was using Primal Savagery, which I can increase the size of my... I basically turn my claws into... Right, yeah, my claws into corrosive and just take the time to melt them down.
So you've melted them down into a very questionably disgusting soup.
Mm. And then I will put the coffin, close the lid back up, and I'll put it through the, I'll put it into the, what do I want to say here? The frickin' oven, all right?
Yeah. Into the retort, it slides.
And then, can I take the time, can I see how to start this thing? Because I'd like to just burn this coffin.
Make me an intelligence check.
That's a 5.
It's not that difficult to see that you have to press the button to shut the door and then press the button to start it.
Whew. All right, good. I press said buttons in the right order.
You could tell the people who were originally sent to work here weren't that intelligent.
Thank God for idiot proofing.
It doesn't take long for the room to fill with heat.
I hope that you all can find some semblance of peace after this. And with it burning, I will then turn and make my way to said hole and hop down.
So, at the front of the party, I'm assuming Shard would have made it to the end of the corridor because it is all one straight run.
Yep.
Just slam abandoning everyone else. The last door you slam open leads to an empty room, but the corridor carries on.
I was just gonna keep going.
Mm-hmm. Round another blind corner until you come to, well, a junction in the road, as it were. You can go straight ahead or you can turn left and sort of go up behind the rooms.
What do I see down both?
You can see quite a way down both corridors. There are no doors in either of them, but you can't quite see to the end. There is a very deafening silence down here, though.
I'm gonna go to the left first.
Okay. Again, just
kind of leave a mark on the wall to indicate I've gone left. Whether okay. they actually notice it is another question, but it's a common cave. It's a common route. Not route. System. Those who use the caves use.
I mean, if you were leaving it for someone like Harlan, it would work, but these aren't cave people.
I mean, it is a big star. Because Shard's aware they're part of your idiots when it comes to caves.
It's not their area of expertise.
Nope.
So, whilst Shard is stalking off, Moira, where are you at?
Moira is going to be continuing to follow as best she can without encroaching too much. She wants to be nearby in case Shard gets in trouble.
How far of dark vision do you have, Moira?
60 feet.
Because I'm probably out of view.
Do you come across the star, though?
I don't know, do I?
It's on the wall.
I say I see it, yeah. I think my first should turkey would be doing investigation for it, shouldn't I? 15.
Okay.
Sorry. So yes, I see the star.
You also vaguely remember seeing something like this from the caves you were all in.
Charlie?
Yep.
Have you, come here, have you seen this?
No, but it looks like an indicator to me. Because, I mean, it's still... I'd point to... Is it like a wooden... Is it wood or, like, concrete shard scratched into?
It's stone.
If you look, it's quite fresh.
Shard would have used chalk.
Yeah, touch it, and when a tiny bit comes off, yeah, that's fresh. Probably gone this way.
Yeah. I say we give them their space, but at the same time, we need to stay as close as we can. So we need to keep following. Something's not... I've got a really bad feeling they're going to find stuff that they need to find, but don't want to find.
DM question. There's another corridor, isn't there?
Yeah.
You should carry on following Shard. I'm just going to walk to the end of this one. Not going to go that far.
Okay.
Just kind of intrigued.
Okay.
I don't need anything.
Okay. If you need anything, I open a message link with Charlie, because the way Charlie can't cast it, they can reply.
I'm sure I won't burn death this time around.
Okay.
And I head down that corridor.
Oberyn, where are you at this point?
I want to say that Ned would have... Well, that has no dark vision. So Ned would have just stuck with Kindra, I guess. Yeah. So where are they at?
They're not too far in. Apparently, as a fire Ganassi, Kindra's dark vision is all in shades of red, rather than the usual grayscale.
All right, Predator. with that, I would catch up with the two of them. All right, you two seem to be still fine. Why don't you two just wait here until we come back?
Are you sure we're coming back this way?
Kindra, I like your style. Fine, you're right. Let us on.
Kindra leads the way. She's tied a rope around Ned so that he can't get too lost. All he has to do is follow like a duckling.
And then I'll take up the rear, following the two of them.
Kindra is still glowing very faintly, but not enough for Ned to really see by. And as you pass any of the rooms with the open doors, do you look in any of them or?
No, I don't. I, at this point, need to catch up with the rest of the group, and Oberyn, seeing these doors already been opened, will hopefully have assumed that either Shard or Moira or Charlie check them out. So just gonna keep on keeping on.
Okay. And Shard the Furious, you've come to another set of junctions. One of them you can see to the end of, and it's seemingly a dead end. The other one is turning right, and you can see to the end of that one too, as it turns around another corner. All the corners are at exact 90 degree angles. It's somewhat strange.
Are there doors down these as well?
There are no doors.
One simply does not walk into Mordor. Shadow probably follow the route that doesn't have a dead end.
Okay.
I'll mark the wall again, hoping that the group has some intelligence.
Probably. Oh boy. Charlie, where are you at?
I don't know. Where does this corridor take me?
Up and straight ahead. You can't see to the end of it. Your dark vision isn't that strong. Really, Shard probably couldn't see to the end of this one. It just goes on and on.
I'm going to keep going, I think.
Okay.
I'm sure I won't burn to death.
Moira, do you follow Shard's next marker, or do you go the dead end way?
I'm going to continue following Shard's marker because I'm extremely concerned.
Okay.
I'm going to continue at the same pace so I don't catch up, but at the same time I don't fall behind.
Because Oberyn, Ned and Kendra aren't dilly-dallying, they would have found Shard's first marker by now. Because if you're just walking straight, it doesn't take that long.
Right. Well, it looks as if this would be the way to go. Do I see what would be Charlie's footprints going the opposite way? Are they still leaving sooty footprints everywhere?
I think they've cleared the ash off them by now, so there would be no footprints.
Then Oberyn would continue on to the left, saying, "All right, Kendra, we'll follow the rest of the group."
Here we go. No, this way, just a little bit more to the right. She's trying not to lead Ned directly into a wall. I don't suppose you've got anything to make him see.
I don't think I do.
The point of me tying a rope around you is to make you walk, not for me to drag you along. And Ned has still traumatized into silence, so he's not the most helpful of companions right now.
I kick him in the ass.
Kinky.
Ned, quit your shit.
What's with the bug eyes, Matthew?
Oh, he's certainly dead. He may appear normal, but...
I can assure you...
You've forgotten, Oberyn doesn't give a shit.
You know what I mean? He's got it in his shit.
Oh, I long ago cleaned that up. He's been with the party for a long time at this point. I gave him fresh clothes.
I imagine that. Jesus Christ.
Ned is no longer living in his own filth. It's fine. A voice by now you'd smell him coming.
Well, I hate everything.
Shard, can you roll me a quick perception check?
Sure, anything to get out of this.
Genuinely quite sorry.
19.
Okay. You can hear something moving around at the end of the corridor. Just out of your line of vision.
Hello?
There's a T-junction at the end of this one.
Is anyone there? Are you okay?
There's no reply at the moment.
When I get to the T-junction, like, which way did I think the sound was coming from?
To the right. Charlie, on your journey, you can hear something just ahead. Seems to be coming closer to you.
Take a defensive stance.
Do you take a defense? What? Just ready to attack?
It's going to depend. Let's spend a point of key for patient defense. Nah. Trying to keep my points just in case. So I'll take it like an offensive stance, just ready to strike out if I have to.
Do you attack Shard as they walk around the corner?
No, because I was waiting to see what it was.
Denouncing myself the entire time. And Charlie's still in a defensive stance.
Can you make me an Arcana check, quickly?
Me?
Yes. I'd ask Charlie, but Charlie is a monk. I already asked them to do that in the last episode. And the response I got was like, you don't ask the monk that.
Says Alex, who asks me that.
I mean, you're one with magic.
11.
Oh, then. Charlie was unable to hear you when you were talking.
Huh.
She can hear you now that you're right next to her.
Cool. Without a word, I just turn around and go to the other bit of the T-junction I haven't explored.
Okay, that one just leads straight ahead.
Aye.
I guess I'll follow up.
By this point, I assume Moira is catching up.
I mean, Moira was busy seeing going that way, and then suddenly that way.
You can't hear their footsteps at all, and they can't hear yours.
I make a note of that internally, and then continue moving towards the way Shard went down the T-junction.
Okay. Oberyn, have you been following the markers Shard's been leaving, or have you wandered off down any dead ends?
I have been following the markers in general. I do, as I remember, was given that wonderful bracelet last time. And it does give me a sense of tremor sense. Mm-hmm. So can I, like, is there any, like, sense of, like, tremors down here or anything like that?
It's not strong enough to pick up footsteps. At least not yet. But otherwise, there's nothing.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Oberyn is not like being down in these confined spaces. But then, no, I would probably stay on path for following Shard's markings.
Okay. Probably doesn't take you too long to get to the T-junction yourself, but everybody's already headed down.
All right. Looks like we found where the rest of them are going. I guess onward.
Ned walks into a wall.
Good job, Ned. Good job. You walk as well as you fire your tank. It's quite impressive.
He makes some sort of scared noise and is sort of trying to keep away from Oberyn, but also feeling like that's a completely futile exercise.
I'm in your head.
Ned nearly soils himself all over again. He may have soiled himself slightly. That was a failed concept.
Worth it.
Kendra tries so hard not to laugh because that feels mean. At the head of the party, Shard finally comes to a door, and it's the only one in the corridor at the end.
Well, this seems dramatic.
It's a very ornate door.
Fucking rich people.
It's wooden, and it's got feathers carved into the door.
Okay, I'm gonna open the door now.
Did you?
Yes? Cursed sentences.
You open the door to find nothing. And I mean that both figuratively and literally. You can walk in, the ground is solid, but it's a swirling nothingness.
Oh, look, it's my soul.
The faint silvery mist along the floor, so you can see roughly where you can walk. By now, Charlie would have caught up to see the nothingness.
Wouldn't Moira be ahead of me? Well, mind you, I suppose being Shard ended up being in the same area, so yes, we would be in Moira.
The two corridors led to the same place. Charlie took the shortcuts.
Look, because I'm taller than Shard, I can just see what's in this room. And it just confuses the fuck out of me.
Shard scowls in infinite dark vision.
Moira. It's your turn to look at the swirling nothingness, being even taller than Charlie, so you can just look over her head.
Just like the Russian dolls.
Nesting
one
dolls.
One taller than the other. And then we get to Oberyn because they got placed in the wrong order.
The one that got left under the sofa.
Aw.
This is creepy.
Can I do an Arcana check on it?
Yeah. Roll me Arcana.
Oh, thanks, Dice. 10.
Okay. Anyone else rolling Arcana? Just as Oberyn and the two lackeys are pulling up?
I will, and that is 23.
23. Okay.
What have we stumbled upon this time?
Even with the 10. It's hard to describe, really. It's kind of an infinite sense of magic, for lack of better terms. It doesn't feel hostile, but it's not particularly familiar.
Do rich people normally keep a void of magic in their house?
No, not in my family do we have a void of magic in our basement, no.
Thought I'd check.
Alright, I'm gonna do something. Is it like a spinning void? It seem like swirling?
Not as such. You can see almost like a solid path you can walk on. Otherwise, the area around the path is almost staticky.
Can I take out an arrow and like put it into the staticky area?
If you want. The arrow warps slightly, as in it's almost like it's being sucked under the pathway.
Right. Well, so don't go off the pathway, it appears.
I'm gonna try something. Basically, like, clutching my ring, because it's my defense mechanism if shit goes sideways. I'm gonna step onto the path and kind of shuffle a bit further inwards.
The path is dry, but it sounds like you're walking through a puddle, and otherwise, nothing happens.
It's fine.
Moira stepped on that path to follow Shard.
Again, there's just...
Moira, personal space. You've been following me this entire time, it's unsettling.
I'm making sure that you're okay. That's all. I make sure that I stand as far back as I...
This entire time, Shard's glanced behind them. And I've just seen Moira following slowly, like fucking Friday the 13th.
Moira appears in a hockey mask.
Get out of here, Michael Myers. Just with a heel in one hand.
That's Moira's Halloween costume.
Right. I'm still going to follow at a distance, but I am going to follow. Because I think we all are.
Okay. Charlie Oberyn?
Once again, I will take up the back and follow behind Charlie and also Kendra and Tim, aka Ned.
Oh, just follow along because magic is sort of beyond me. This is definitely beyond me.
That's why I put you in the middle. Keep you the safest. Punching things won't help.
Possibly help. You never know.
You never know.
You never know indeed. The path is... it's solid. There's, again, just the light splashing of your footsteps as you go along. If you look down, your footsteps are rippling, despite the path being oddly dry.
Well, at least this isn't unsettling.
And as you follow it along, it just ends when you get to a sort of lake of the same staticky swirling around the path.
Why did we all stop?
The lake.
That's the lake of what? I can't see up there. I'm behind all of you.
Moira said, did that shuffle thing where she did the path, but basically say, rotates so she's behind them all because so she's the tallest. There.
I just send live footage of what I'm seeing to the group chat because I'm at the front.
That works too.
Chad goes live.
The signal's a bit spotty down here, but you all get to see the lake of swirling static. And on the other end of it is... you can all see this, except for Ned. Poor Ned. Since the lake is only about 30 foot across, there's a shrine.
Is it that fucking bird?
It looks identical to that one, except the podium where the statue was stood is empty.
Okay, the statue's come to life and is going to kill us all. Cool. Is there anyone else there? Is it just that?
Did you say the bit about the statue out loud?
As in the fucking statue, or...?
The fucking statue's come to life and kill us all.
Probably, because right now Shard has no filter.
If it wanted you dead, it would have done so a long time back.
Ah!
The lake suddenly speaks to you.
Okay, everyone else heard that, right?
Yes.
Hello, Lake. Do you have a name?
I have many names.
What is your preferred option for address?
My name, or my true name, as it were, is Vizaroff. And a face sort of rises to just below the surface of the lake. It's hard to make out any features, but you can see the mouth full of teeth and a pair of glowing eyes with almost like pupils staring back at you.
How may we assist you?
You tell me. You've walked into my domain.
Where's my son?
Your son? I don't claim to be all knowledgeable.
I found you in the weird, creepy basement where clearly they've been running experiments on people, one of them being my son. It's a fair assumption to make.
Oh, I can understand that. From what time was your son down here?
The last date in his file was 2 years ago.
There's been no one down here in 2 years.
Who was down here before?
All sorts of people. You'll have to narrow it down a bit.
Was there a Lieutenant Furious?
Oh, you mean this fellow. And to the top of the water rises a clearly drowned body, and yet somehow perfectly preserved, of Lieutenant Furious.
Well, can't say he didn't deserve it.
That's not at all creepy.
Did you drown him?
Perhaps. Don't wander into people's homes uninvited.
I mean, fair enough.
The body slowly sinks again.
You don't judge people's defense mechanisms. But do you know what's been happening here?
The same thing that's been happening for... a long time. 100 years. 200. Perhaps more.
It's like talking to my fucking patron.
Ah, yes, the genie.
Out of curiosity, how do you know that? You say you're not all-knowing, but you know about my patron.
I don't know all things, but I know some things. It's the energy you give off. You give off the genie's energy. Your interesting-looking friend wasn't born like that. Like a Ganassi is a cat, or occasionally a cat. And I believe that human with you died at some point.
Yes, he's still processing that.
Why are you here, creature or entity? I don't Visigoth.
Visigoth, don't insult it.
Visigoth.
It's fine, I've been called plenty of things. I suppose you could say I was trapped down here at some point, but I've rather grown to like it. It's very quiet, though.
Well, the next question I must ask, as we are clearly in your domain, is why have you let us get this close?
Well, it's been a long time since anybody's been here, and even longer since somebody attempted to free the spirits.
You noticed?
Of course.
Wait, you said someone's tried to free them before?
Yes, many years ago. It ended poorly.
Are they receiving a slap off of three people here? What happened to them?
It's hard to say, really. I found one of them in my lake.
Right.
I believe the other two may have been stabbed. Not by spirits, funnily enough. By someone just having a bit of fun. You're a strange people.
Out of... It's not really curiosity.
but did I succeed? Is that all of them here?
As many as I could be saved. The ones who've died are now free.
It's better than none. Out of curiosity, I understand we have wandered into your domain without open permission. Are you going to let us leave?
Do you intend to attempt to harm me?
I'm not really planning on it, no.
Then by all means. Perhaps we'll meet again.
If I'm ever by a lake, I'm sure I'll wave.
Mouth grins even wider. The smile stretching to where its ears might be.
Shot is gripping the spirit band like. Ooh, everybody want to moonwalk out of here?
There's a door on the other end.
Oh, that's helpful. Thank you.
And the face sinks below the surface without another word.
Mm. Still not the weirdest thing I've seen today.
Although you can't see them anymore, but you can feel their eyes tracking you as you move.
I could almost sense that magic. That was powerful.
Right, but we don't linger in its domain.
Yeah, got it.
For sure.
So you're all edging around to the quote-unquote door.
Are we now all literally doing the Oberyn ball shuffle?
Hey, master of it. It always works.
You'll get round unscathed. Kendra almost has to stop Ned from falling in because he can't see that well. So it's almost comical for a moment. He's like falling over the edge and she's gripping the rope like, someone help me please, he's kind of heavy!
Fine.
I'm sure he doesn't mean to be a burden. Ned almost cries at being called a burden.
Oh, he'll go back to being useful soon.
Once we get out, two things. One, Oberyn, can I have the files back, please?
Of course.
Thank you. And I hand three torches to Marmalade and Ned.
Thank you.
I don't need them, so might as well stop him walking into walls and hurting himself.
Ned is now a walking beacon of light.
I shoot Oberyn a glare because he definitely has torches in his back because everyone fucking does.
You feel the eyes in the lake narrow a bit at all this sudden light. But you eventually shuffle around. The shrine has a door on it.
I knock.
There's no response.
Cool. I open the door.
You step out into snow.
Why can't doors just go to normal places?
And you're in the shadow of the bird statue that Oberyn called stupid.
We're literally outside.
When we all go back to the cabin.
We're not a bad idea. We can plan our next move from there.
As
sit down and have our conversation.
As Ned and Kendra step out, Ned once more becomes undead, and there is a stream of furious swear words as Kendra is once more a cat, now with a rope in her mouth. Well, this is some bullshit.
Sorry, Kendra.
It's fine, I'm used to it. She looks at Oberyn. Can you give me a lift up, please? I can't really walk through the snow by myself anymore.
Of course, Kendra.
It's just this tail sticking out of a pile of snow.
Give me a cat.
I will scoop Kendra up and put the cat back into the pocket of my coat.
Kendra will sulk in there for a very long time. And Ned now looks glorious. The undead arrow through the neck, half his face missing. He is wearing a rather lovely fedora, though.
Ned, how I missed you.
He can sort of gargly grunt, but his vocal cords are very much destroyed once more.
Just gives thumbs up from under the pile of rations.
I still got his bag.
Yeah, he does. And Andy. When the last person is out the door, it shuts by itself.
Thanks, I hate it.
Well, so we never need to go back there.
So you're all heading back to the cabins then? Presumably for this lovely little chat.
Well, at this point we will have to put our cards on the table, really. There's too many intersecting parts for us not to talk.
It's kind of speed walk over to the cabins, as it were. Party fast travels, because you've already been there.
Yay! Loading screen.
Loading screen tip. People die if they're killed.
The loading screen is just more reposing. You too can open doors
with knobs.
So, the cabin is just as quiet as you left it.
Moira starts a fire. In the fireplace.
I was about to be like, alright, Shambles.
Moira does not light the dusty old couch on fire.
Not the couch.
The couch with the perfect Oberyn print still in it.
Right, so are we going to do this?
I guess so.
Dad is sat in the far corner so they can see all of you and every entrance to the room.
I left Ned outside on guard duty.
Ned has resumed his post as guard. Facing the right way this time.
Chad pulls the curtain slightly so we don't have to see the cold meat on the window from last time.
Oh, God!
There is still very much Ned's cheek on the window.
Frozen in place.
Cheeky. Right.
Who'd like to start?
I'll start, because if I don't say the words now, I'm going to probably kill someone, so. No one interrupt during each other's bits. If you say my son's name without me giving you permission, I will stab you. I guess I'll cover what's essential. I was a tour guide here for a while. One of my tours went badly wrong when the idiots didn't listen to me. My tour group got ripped apart, and I managed to save a toddler called Jackson. His parents died. It took him months to be able to speak, but eventually he came out of his shell and I raised him as Corey, a tiefling ranger who loved the wilderness and hunting and exploring. You probably would have liked him. You would have gone on with him, Moira. He was remarkably good at making rabbits taste decent. When he was 18, he was drafted into the military. Not by choice, obviously. And about 18 months later, I found out that apparently his group had been sent to deal with an uprising in the village, of which his group were cannon fodder, essentially. The opposing army was about three times as big, and they were just a distraction so the rich and powerful could get out. All of his group apparently died. I got to see his body from afar, which I didn't realize until recently. Apart from the stuff you've all experienced alongside me, I've had a conversation with Harlan. Harlan, the shadow elf you met. He's been my friend for a while, but he's been here a long time. And he has a deeper connection to kind of the scientist and things. Oberyn knows this. And he told me that Corey might be alive, and I found out in that fucking military base that he was last seen 2 years ago, after undergoing a whole bunch of medical things I can't understand because I can't fucking read medical shorthand or their handwriting. And they've been doing this to countless children, essentially. For God knows how long. Oh yeah, you see this ring? Show gestures to the ring that, if any of you remember from the Snow Bear encounter, they retreated into when they were about to die. I made a pact with a genie.
Hence, you know, the bit more of the dark magic that nearly murdered you earlier. I've sworn my services to Oberyn to track down the scientist and fucking flay him alive. And if my son's okay, if he's even breathing, I will do anything to bring him home, even if it means I have to go through all of you. I'd rather not. I've grown fairly fond of you. But he's my fucking son. Someone else go, please.
I can go if you want me to. I'm just a basic elf. I'm looking for a reason my parents were brought to the island. And made it my mission to find out why. But my parents wouldn't tell me. They wouldn't put my sister through it. So at 18, I just packed up my stuff and went from village to village to village, working in taverns, trying to sniff out information. I didn't learn anything. I backpacked my way across every mountain village. Apart from getting a set of high heels in one village, I didn't get anywhere with my investigation. The only time I've had any luck of finding anything of note out was when I bumped into all of you lot. I have nothing else to offer. I'm literally investigating why my family is here. As far as I'm concerned, I pledge my allegiance to all of you. I want to help Oberyn and Shard. You haven't got about going through me. I'll do whatever I can to help you. Anything I can to help you.
Oberyn, who took the exact opposite corner of Shard, has been standing in the corner, just leaning, arms crossed, listening to everyone. I've been perfectly honest with all of you. My father.
Shard glares at you.
Fucking bullshit.
My father spent his life trying to burn this island down. And in so, myself, my brother, and my sister were taken by a scientist who works off of this island. We were kept here for many, many years, trying to break my father as the scientist experimented on all three of us in front of each other. As you can see, I took it better than others. My sister is never the same. But eventually, scientists saw fit that just having us wasn't enough. So he killed my elder brother in front of my sister and I, and sent his head to my father. After which, my father, though 500 years on this planet wasn't enough to break him, the sight of his eldest son's head was. It's never been the same since. We were released back into my father's custody, and since, as you've noticed, he's become a tool of the government. His signature is everywhere on this island. He does everything they ask of him. And thus I have taken up his cause. And I will burn this island to the ground and destroy everyone who runs it. And that involves finding the scientist and taking him alive so that he can pay for every crime that he has committed. And he can sell out everyone who has worked for him. And I will burn this entire corrupt government to the ground until I get my ounce of flesh. Till my family gets its ounce of flesh.
Meanwhile, Marmalade's just there like, what the fuck?
She's been listening the whole time.
I mean, unlike Oberyn, I haven't been completely honest about myself. Fuck, I haven't really said anything about myself, have I?
I know your name's Charlie and you have a brother.
I do come from nobility myself. We were sent to the island for some reason. I'll get into that in a minute. I don't actually know what the reason is. We come from an island in the south called Lenova. It's quite a rich people's island, basically. My mother, Althea, worked for the government. What she did, I'm not really sure. I was never interested in that sort of thing, so I just ignored it. Her side business was selling weapons to different nations and everything, which me and my brother convinced her to stop. We said it wasn't the right thing to do. She was making enough money anyway. So after some time, she eventually shut down the business. A few weeks after that, a group of don't know what they were, military maybe? They seemed a bit more specked out than what we've been against. Broke into our house and arrested us, brought us to the island. We were taken in by Ben Garn, who looked after us for a while, that's why I know him so well, before we moved to Pinchalpool. A couple years after that, we got attacked by a group of bandits. I don't know much about them, apart from one of them I've put in a wheelchair now. Don't think he's a threat to us anymore. And their mission was to kill us. Our mother was killed, me and Sam managed to escape. And Sam left in the middle of the night to track him down and kill him, and I haven't seen him since. That's more or less it, what I can think of.
Do you wish us to try and find your brother?
I think so. I mean, if I'm honest, I don't know how sane he even is going to be at this point. I haven't seen him in years. But if I can find him, then I can try and make things right. Should have gone with him, really. But it's too much.
I'll do my best to help you.
Thank you.
In spite of everything.
Sorry about, knocking a few teeth out the other night.
And the spell book. And a punch in front of the town while I was just trying to do some help. Well, granted, it didn't go well.
I was going to say, you did destroy half.
We'll punch both of you. The hits.
At the same time, I will still happily help you.
Thank you. But yeah, originally, when I agreed to help, I had nothing else to lose, but now I'm going to help because I want to help. All of you here are just great people, and I will do everything I can to help.
If anyone has a problem with anything any of us have said in our stories, you can walk out that door right now and I won't follow you. You can find your own way. If you're comfortable with what is going to be, this is a mission of hate, of vengeance. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be rescuing a damsel. If you're not okay with that, you are welcome to leave. If you are okay with that, you are in it for the long haul. And I will protect you with my life.
God, it was not my intention when I set out my journey to go down this path. But my path has changed its course. I'm in this for as long as needed. My magic is at your disposal. Same for you, Oberyn. Same for you, Oberyn, and same for you, Charlie. I will not destroy any more towns. I still feel so, so guilty about that.
I'll do all I can to assist you all, finding your family or finding your answers. And I will protect you as much as I can. But I thank you in helping with me in my quest as well.
Boys try to look out for whoever I'm with. And I'll try to help everyone here best I can. Because, being honest, the day this place burns to the ground is the day we know we've done all we can. So, I'm in your corner.
Everyone get some sleep. We've got some shit to do tomorrow.
Whilst you've all been pledging your undying support for one another.
Our undying love!
nicest way possible.
Marmalade has been looking out the window as she heard something while you're all talking. Is someone in our little campsite? Is not Ned? They're having a silent fight, if you ever. They look over at the window, they'll just see a little cat face watching them. But there is indeed signs of a scuffle outside with no voices.
I communicate with Ned telepathically. Is he fighting something?
He is indeed fighting something.
I turn it without saying anything and I try to run out the front door.
You see Ned scuffling with a half-orc with a very heavily scarred face.
The fuck are you doing here? Who are you?
The half-orc doesn't reply to you, just continues trying to pummel Ned, who, for being undead, is actually quite good at fighting, apparently.
I'm going to run and I'm going to attempt to tackle the half-orc off of Ned.
Okay, make me an attack roll quickly.
That is only a 12. It's 12. Yep.
He swiftly sidesteps you, but then, turning to look properly at you, you can see his mind working, trying to place where he's seen you before.
I turn back to look at him. I didn't grab my weapon or anything like that, so I just have my hands and I just raise them both. And, like, I do primal savagery so that my claws glow with just acid. And I just stop attacking my zombie servant.
Natural phrase to use.
He does drop Ned and take a couple steps back, clearly in fear.
I will probably have run out of the house by now, both my hands are light.
More likewise with her hand on fire as well.
State your purpose.
He turns to look at you. And Shard, you can instantly recognize him despite the scarring on his face. It's Targ.
Targ!
Friend of yours?
Hands down.
Well, they're happy to put their hands out.
Upon seeing Shard, he just grins and goes over to grab them in a bone-crushing hug.
I yell, Charlie! It's Targ!
I join in the freeway hug.
Picks the pair of you up easily.
Oh.
Check on Ned.
Ned's
Targ is the half-elf, half-orc child of the barkeeps from Larton.
Yeah. Ned is unharmed. His fingers have been bent a bit oddly, but nothing that won't straighten itself out.
That was quite impressive, Ned. I know you can't respond anymore, but once again, you are far more effective undead than you ever were alive. I'm telling you this to your face.
He does a double thumbs up, getting it the right way up this time, and doing his best to look fierce with only half a face and a fedora that's been knocked to one side.
Yeah, I fix his fedora. And I go and join with the rest of the now hugging group.
Obviously, Targ is still mute. He can't say a word. But you can just see the complete joy exuding from him.
Come in from the cold, Targ.
Probably carry Shard and Charlie inside. We're getting to put them down.
Angry 5'3" noises.
He remembers to put you down gently, remembering the time he's accidentally knocked you out before.
Yes, that was fun.
Open.
Yes, Moira.
Ned's not looking so good. Can I help patch him up a little bit?
Moira, I suppose. I honestly, at this point, it's been a long, long fucking day and I don't care. Go ahead.
I thought that you would appreciate your, well, your Ned being in a little bit better, Nick. I'm guessing medicine.
Yeah, roll me a medicine check.
I get +3 to this, but it is a nat 1.
For fuck's sake, kill Ned again!
The thing is about Ned is, whilst the cold is preserving his body quite well, his bones are somewhat fragile. And he doesn't feel the pain when you do it, which is a relief. You do manage to accidentally break his wrist. You just hear the snap.
Moira,
his
now
floppy wrist.
Nothing. It's a twig. Moira quickly puts like a branch on the end and just splits it. And like, nothing. It's fine.
Ned shakes his now useless wrist around a bit. He can't talk anymore, but he is genuinely looking at Moira with such a "what the actual fuck did you do to me" expression. Even gestures to his wrist.
Moira, like, puts a hand on Ned's shoulder and looks into his eyes and looks apologetically at this.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
He does his best to do like a one-armed, like, whatever, I guess, this is my life now, shrug. And then goes back and stands guard because he hasn't been ordered to do anything else yet. And
Oberyn, not really caring that much about Turk, has gone to the other room to trance at this point.
Shard gives a disapproving head shake.
He's a child!
Turk is 15 years old, which apparently by half-orc standards means he's pretty much reached adulthood physically. But he is a little bit developmentally disabled, so more like 12, 13 at a push.
I will protect my son. I adopt all the children. Welcome to Shard.
And now, with Targ being added to the party roster, you now have a half-orc fighter in your possession.
I just pull him out of my pocket.
I choose you, Turk.
So we now have a half-orc, a human which is now a zombie with a broken wrist and an arrow for its neck.
A fire ganassi furry.
Fire ganassi furry. A emotionally traumatized drow elf.
A mentally unhinged simic high elf hybrid.
A high elf monk who with extreme anger issues, and a witch who regrets every decision she's ever made.
What a party!
Yeah, and we all jump into the air at the same time. Freeze.
That's the end of the episode. Yeah,
that place jumped.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Kerry, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matt Attack Productions.